Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you with all our heart, and we find those rich blessings. Oh God, you're such a giver, you're such a blesser, and Lord, we know that your heart is to bless us as much as you can. Lord, we want to be those that you can bless. Father, we just pray right now that you would guide this part of the service. Lord, I ask you to direct my words, wing my words through many a heart, Lord, as the songwriter said. God, that they might that your words, Lord. That your words might touch us. They might open our eyes to behold wonderful things that are in your word. God, we ask you to do that. I'm just a man. I can't make that happen, Lord. But I know that you can. And so we're asking you today to meet the needs of your people. So touch us, Lord, right in the center of our being. To speak to us, God. Give us answers to the questions we have. To bring healing where there's hurt, Lord. To bring life where there's death. And we'll give you the glory, Lord. Because only you can do those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here. And be able to share God's Word. Next week we're going to be starting our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse by verse. And as I was thinking about how do you start that? How do you start something like that? In a discipleship class, I was trying to come up with a class introduction lesson. And I just couldn't get anywhere with it. And just didn't flow. And so finally it just dawned on me, felt like the Lord said, why don't you share a message on the things that you feel like need to be said? So that's what I'd like to try to do today, is share a message of introducing the Sermon on the Mount so that we can consider, what is this? What is it? What is the Sermon on the Mount? Is it a sermon like I'm sharing with you today? Or is it something more than that? Is it a sermon like the ones on the back in the racks that we should just put on a CD and have it amongst all the others? Or is there something different about it? I think we'll agree that there's something different about the Sermon on the Mount. Right? It's an amazing sermon. It's the greatest sermon, I believe, ever given. And all the rest of our sermons are efforts to somehow share little pieces of that. I brought an illustration here. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Brought this little bottle of oil. Okay, peppermint. We use this like for making cookies and stuff. It only takes like one drop of this stuff here, and you can have mint cookies, a whole batch. Why is that? Because it's highly concentrated. It just this little tiny bottle, you know, that's it. It looks like, you know, it's hardly even been used. It's all the way up to here. But I know we've had a lot of mint cookies and things, so it only takes a tiny drop. I believe that's what the Sermon on the Mount is like. One little drop, and you can have 50 sermons out of that, right? I mean, I've been working on the Beatitudes. You could spend a month on every Beatitude. And not get through it all. So the challenge is, how do you do that in a half hour? That's a real challenge. So the Sermon on the Mount, it's power-packed. It is highly concentrated. It's the Word of God. Every word in there is the Word of God. My sermon today, every word's not going to be like that. I hope that most of them are, but, you know, not every one of them is. So, the Sermon on the Mount is something very different. than what we think normally of a sermon. Is it a collection of good advice to live by? No. Is there good advice in there to live by?
Yes.
That's not all it is it? Okay, is the Sermon on the Mount the description of how to live your best life now? I don't know if you recognize that title, but someone has a title of a book. In America, they wrote a book. It's one of the most popular preachers. 40,000 people meet every Sunday in an old NBA basketball stadium. And that's the title of the book, Your Best Life Now. Is that what the Sermon on the Mount is promoting? Is it a message to help you be successful and prosperous?
Spiritually?
Amen. Is it a message that you can critique and judge like you will do with my message today? Can you do that with the Sermon on the Mount? No, it's God's Word. You don't do that with the words of Jesus, right? We let it critique us. And can you pick and choose what you like or you don't like from it? We don't get to do that. What is the Sermon on the Mount? We're going to be studying this for a long time, so we better think about it, right? What is it? What is this message that's called the Sermon on the Mount? That's what I want to talk to you today about. Title of this message is The Gospel of the Kingdom. The Gospel of the Kingdom. Turn to Matthew 4. Right, in Matthew 4 we have the temptations of Christ. The devil came to him, tempted him with his various temptations. And then it tells how he began his ministry. And look what it says here. In verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, "Repent, because you're going to go to hell." It's true. He could have said that. I'm not critical of that. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There's a kingdom at hand. That's why you need to repent. And because the kingdom of heaven is here, there's something in you that needs to change. There's something about you that doesn't fit with what's here. Kingdom of heaven. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he goes on, he gathered in Peter and Andrew, his brother, James and John in verses to 21 there, and 22. And then it says in 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. And I love how this says this, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He didn't just say healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. I think there's a reason why it says this. Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And it goes on to say his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." There's a kingdom here. And I believe his healings and his miracles that he did were a demonstration to the people that there was a king present who was greater than any other king. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Where did those torments come from that he healed? It came from the devil, right? Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is here. There's a king that I'm proclaiming, and I am, that's here now, and he's greater than any other king, and therefore you need to repent." And I'm going to demonstrate it to you because I'm going to heal every manner of sickness and all manner of disease. People that are lunatic. People that are tormented. And these people, imagine how they felt when they saw, they heard about this kingdom that's arrived. And now they see all these people that are demon-possessed, sick, and everything else, and they're all healed. Every one of them. Do you think they wanted to know some more about that kingdom? Yes. Praise God. There's a kingdom. He's talking about a kingdom here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. There's a kingdom here now. And, I'm thinking if God leads this way to have a time of prayer at the end of this message. For people who have all manner of problems. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because God is on His throne. And there's a reason why it says He healed all manner of sickness. All manner of disease. All manner of torments. Because He wants us to know there's nothing in your life and my life that He can't take care of. And I know that there's people here today that you have things in your life. You have things that need to be healed. You have things that are not what they could be or should be. And I've been asking God to touch you today. And I want to, if the Lord leads that way, continues to lead that way, I'm going to have a time of prayer. But I just want to emphasize this point. Jesus healed all manner of everything. The sick people. The crazy people, the people that they brought to Him that were tormented and possessed by devils, He healed and delivered them. Does He still do that today? Or is that just for those folks back there? We know the answer. He preached the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news, right? The good news that there's another kingdom, there's a kingdom of heaven that is at hand here to defeat the kingdom of the devil. And isn't that biblical language? It says in Colossians, He has delivered us from the power, the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have been taken out of the dark kingdom as Christians. And if you're not a saint today, you're still in the kingdom of darkness. But praise God, you can be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Praise the Lord. God. Amen. Jesus was saying, by healing all these people, by doing all these miracles, He's saying, this kingdom rules. The devil is defeated. You know, it's like He just planted that flag right there. Boom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm demonstrating it here by healing you people. And so, look at the results of what happened. It says in verse 25, there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. You know, you start doing things like that, people are going to follow. He had all these people coming. You know, you can imagine the buzz in the crowd. You can imagine the excitement as they talk about all the testimonies. Just think of how many testimonies there must have been to share of these people walking along, following after Him. Well, how did you hear about Johnny? Remember how messed up he was? He's healed. He's delivered. The devil left him. I saw it. You know, he cried and then the thing came out of him and he was delivered. Imagine the testimonies of these people as they walked along. They were excited. They found something that was an answer to the problems of life. And so, Jesus declared to the people, it says that He was walking through Galilee, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is the declaration of the gospel of the kingdom. It's the declaration of the blessings of the kingdom of God. Right? The Beatitudes and all through it. It's the declaration of the laws of the kingdom. It's the declaration of the judgment in the kingdom. And it's the declaration of the kingdom's promises and preeminence. The Sermon on the Mount is not just a sermon. It's just not just a message. It is the declaration of the kingdom of God. The way it works. And, you know, he's got all these people. They're all excited. They've been delivered. They've been healed. They've been, who knows what all happened. Following him, they're excited about the blessings that they got from the kingdom. I believe at this point. They're excited about the deliverance. They're excited about what God can do for me. And that's good. When I came to Jesus, I didn't come to him because I just really loved him. I didn't come because I had a pure heart or whatever. I came to him because he was the only way I could be saved. And I was scared. I didn't want to go to hell. I came to him, you know, from fear. I came to him from hopelessness. Well, I've learned to love him. And I loved him then. But, you know, many times we come to Jesus for what he can give us. And see, that's an issue that is a problem in the church in America. Where is the kingdom? Who is the king in you can have your best life now? Who's the king? Self. There's a gospel about self. You can run faster. You can jump higher. You can have money. You can have this. You can have that. God will do all these great things for you. And many of that is true. Much of that is true. But is that the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus brought? And so we see all these people. Yes, Jesus healed them, delivered them, saved them, you know, did all these great things. But now he goes up on the mountain. He's got this crowd of people who's enamored, who's excited, who's saying, this is great. This is a powerful kingdom. Satan's being defeated. God is great. And he proceeds to give the Sermon on the Mount. He proceeds to take all those people in that state and share with them what the kingdom really is. And just you think about how he starts out. I can just imagine the people sitting there listening. And he goes into it. He says, happy. Happy are. And I can just see him. All right. You know, he's going to talk to us about how to be happy. And we want to be happy, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he talks about these beatitudes. I can almost see a disappointment come on some of their faces. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Blessed, happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He proceeds to give in those Beatitudes the exact opposite of everything that we think is blessed. Doesn't he? Do we call poverty a blessing? No. Do we call mourning a blessing? No. Do we call meekness a blessing? No. The world says, hey, you've got to stand up for your rights. Don't you let them walk all over you. If you want to make it in this world, you've got to be tough. My son was telling me about one of the boys in his class there on Tuesday night, and that's what the boy said. He said, in my school, you got to be tough. You got to let everybody know who's boss. And he was, I guess, somewhat of a bully, I guess. That's what the world says. If you want to make it, you got to stand up for your rights. Well, Jesus cuts right through it all. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he goes on, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. What's the point? What's the point of all these opposite things of what we think about? Jesus is shattering their illusions about what this kingdom is. It's not just about a bless me club. Praise God, he does bless us. Are you blessed? I am blessed. But God's way of blessing is the opposite of man's way. And so Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, he's giving this to us. He's saying there's a kingdom, there's this great kingdom. And I just want to think about it. Is America a great kingdom? If we call America a kingdom, I know we don't have a king, so to speak. Maybe we could say the Constitution is our king or the government. Is it a great kingdom or isn't it? What makes it a great kingdom? Why does everybody in the world want to move here? Why? What's so great about it? Well, in America, the government's going to take care of you. If you don't have enough money for food, they give you food stamps, right? Provision. In America, the army, the U.S. Army is the greatest military in the world. You don't have to worry about, you know, invasions and all this stuff. We've got the greatest army in the world. That's protection, right? America's a great kingdom because of education. You can go to school for free. It's not that way in many countries. America's a great kingdom because some of those things I wrote down there. Healthcare. If you're sick, the government will take care of you. We'll make sure you get to a doctor. It's your right to be healthy. How about a lawyer to represent you in court in America? They'll provide a lawyer for you. Peace and calm. We have pretty relative peace here. If you don't think we do, just look in the news. Right? Try living in Egypt for a few days. You'll be thankful that we have some peace. We do. We have. This kingdom is a blessed kingdom. In America, there's a potential to be rich here. If that's what you want to do, if that's really what you want to do in life, you might be able to do it here. There's possibilities. It's not that way in every country. I hope you don't want to be rich in money because of what Jesus said about it. You got freedom to pursue your dreams in America. You can pursue your dreams here. America is a great kingdom. Now, what about God? What about His kingdom? Protection? Is there any better? None. Health care? Is there a better healer than God? What about provision? Is there a kingdom that has a better provider? Impossible. Is there a kingdom? Is there a kingdom that will give you a better lawyer? Who's our lawyer? Praise God. We have a court-appointed lawyer to plead our case. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there peace in God's kingdom? Peace that passes understanding. Is there the potential to be rich in God's kingdom? Hallelujah. Riches that nobody can take from you. Riches that last forever. Is there freedom to pursue your dreams in the kingdom of God? Well, I like how one man said it. The kingdom of God, there's freedom and power to do what's right. What kingdom's the best? What's the best kingdom? Jesus was saying the good news. There's a better kingdom. The kingdom of God. And that's what we want to talk about today. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this Sermon on the Mount. As we go through the Sermon on the Mount, keep that in mind. That's what it is. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are told who the kingdom of God belongs to. Are you interested in knowing that? It says it right there in black and white, who the kingdom of God belongs to. Matthew 5, 3 and 10. It tells us who will be allowed to enter and who won't be allowed to enter. Are you curious? Jesus told us right there. These are the people that get to enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the people that will not be allowed in the kingdom of heaven. It tells us who's going to be called the least in the kingdom and who's going to be called the greatest in the kingdom. I mean, this message was all about the kingdom. He tells us, we're told that this kingdom of heaven is an everlasting kingdom and that we should pray that it will come. Matthew 6, 13 and 10. And you know, I love that promise. We've heard it here before on different occasions. In Isaiah, I think it is, it says, of the increase of His kingdom, there shall be no end. We're part of that. Is that exciting? The increase of His kingdom, there shall be no end. And what I see there is, you know, just think about how much it's been increasing ever since the day Jesus died on the cross. Just think of how it's increased since 19 whatever and 2000 and whatever in our own lives. We've entered in. I wasn't in that kingdom. His kingdom got bigger. And it's been getting bigger every year, every century. Because His kingdom is never going to stop increasing, it says. I can't figure that out. But it's great. And then it says in this Sermon on the Mount, it says that we need to seek it first, this kingdom, because it's impossible to serve two kings. You cannot serve, Jesus said, two kings. Because you'll either love the one and hate the other, comparatively, or you'll hold to the one and you'll despise the other. And the example He gave was you cannot serve money and God. But that we could fill in the blank with all kinds of things there, right? This kingdom, this king does not accept partial rulership or partial service. You're either serving Him or you're not. There's two types of kingdoms in the world today. There's what they call an absolute monarchy. That is the type of kingdom that existed, I believe, in Jesus' day, probably the only type that existed. In other words, the king has all power. He has the power to make laws, the power to judge, and the power to execute the three branches of government that we have, the executive power. The king had every one of those powers. Now, today, they have what they call limited monarchies or constitutional monarchies, and in those, there's a constitution that is above the king. It gives him his right to rule, like in Britain. And he is beholden to that constitution. He can't just do whatever he wants. Is God's kingdom an absolute monarchy or a limited one? Absolute. He has the power to make the laws. He has the power and authority to judge those laws. And He has the power and authority to execute the administration of all the kingdom. He is an absolute monarch. And praise God, He's a good monarch. He's a good king. You know, Dwight brought out last Sunday in the Sermon on the Mount, I think it was 17 times it says about the Father. Isn't that a wonderful mix? When I think of a king, I think of somebody pretty much unapproachable. I've never met a king. Kings are separated from the common people. They're, you know, high on their throne. They're, you know, far away. But I love the blend there that Jesus gave. Yes, He's talking about this kingdom. But He says 17 times, your Father, which is in heaven. So it's a kingdom of love. A benevolent kingdom. A kingdom where the king is a father. And who rules with His Son. The definition of a king is one that holds the preeminent position, the chief or sovereign of a nation. Let me just write that on the board, a king. King, dumb. Okay, a kingdom is where a king has dominion, dumb. Where a king has domain. So in order to have a kingdom, you have to have a king, right? Where is the kingdom of God today? Where is the kingdom of God right now? Within. Good answer. Isn't it wherever God is king? Is that too simple? Am I off? The kingdom of God today is wherever God is king. Is God king in the heavenly realms where He is sits on His throne? He is the king there, right? So the kingdom of God is there. Is his kingdom on this earth today? Yeah, wherever he's king. In other words, on this earth, wherever people acknowledge him and yield to him as their king, the kingdom of God is there. That should excite us. And that's what Jesus was trying to get to these people. You know, they were all enamored that they got healed, they got delivered, this is exciting, the devil's defeated, and this is wonderful, and you know, the loaves and fishes another time. Wow, we get food, you know, and this is just great, all our needs are met. But wait a minute, there's a king. And the kingdom of God is where he is king. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Jesus is king. Wherever God is king, there is the kingdom of God. Let me ask the question. Are there areas in our life where God isn't king? Is there any areas in my life or your life that God isn't king of? And if he's not king of it, then the kingdom of God is not there. Am I wrong to say that? You know, I think of we as Christians all struggle at times with different things. Could it be that our struggles are because the king is not enthroned in some area? Could that be? I think that's been true in my life. The things that I struggled with, the bondages, the things that I kept getting tripped up on, kept failing, kept messing up in, and even today when I don't walk in the Spirit, you know, in that moment, God isn't the king of that event. He's not the king of that circumstance, right? If he was, I wouldn't have done that. And so, just felt like we should look at that today. Consider that. Is God king of my life, first of all? If you're a Christian, he is. He is your king. But is there anything there that his kingdom does not wrap around? Is there any parts of my life that his kingdom does not surround and encompass and permeate through? And I believe those areas like that are the things that why we have so many struggles at times. Emmanuel shared a message on bitterness just 2 weeks ago, I think it was. When there's bitterness in our heart, there's a kingdom problem. There's an area that the king, God, is not king of. And so there's a defeat in our life. And so as we let Jesus be king of everything, I believe that these type of bondages and these different things will be taken care of in many ways. And if we do have a bondage in our life, a struggle, something that we just can't get over, ask God to show you if there's an area where he isn't king. Is there some place that, I mean, obviously God's not ruling in that area, right? If God was ruling there, it wouldn't be like that. And so the opportunity we have to surrender to the king, to give him that area, is where victory comes in. The Sermon on the Mount that we're going to be studying will give plenty of material for us to allow the king to take control of. Right? There's no shortage in there. And I'm so excited about this opportunity, this adventure that we're going on. Just in my own life. I mean, my children, one of my daughters told me the other day, she says, Papa, you're changing. You've been studying these Beatitudes, I can see you're changing. And I was like, wow. But she told me that, you know, wow, if you want to thrill your dad, just tell him that. That was exciting. I don't see it really necessarily, but the fact that you're studying the Word of God, you're taking it in, it changes us. We're going to change as a church and as people. I believe that. We're going to enter into the death of the Lord Jesus in a greater measure, and therefore we're going to have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in a greater measure. They go together. His commandments are not grievous, it says. They're grievous to the flesh, but they're not grievous to our spirit. Just like we heard today in our Sunday school lesson. God wants to bless us so much. Telling us to obey His commandments is not mean God on His throne demanding obedience. It's the loving Father saying, "Oh, I give you these commandments because I want your joy to be full." Praise God. And we know what that's like. We know that. And so can we approach this Sermon on the Mount for what it is as we go through this? This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what the king has given. Kings have the right to make the rules. This is the way my kingdom works. And in here, God tells us, if you want to be in my kingdom, this is who gets in and this is who doesn't. This is who's the least in my kingdom. This is who's the greatest in my kingdom. He lays it all out. It's exciting. I'm trying to get you excited, so you're going to go home and look that up. You know, he says in here to love your enemies. One thing about loving your enemies, how many of you like to love your enemies? Praise God, there's one. Well, I like to love them, but my flesh doesn't like it. There's one thing about loving your enemies. You know, you can't manufacture this in your life, can you? You don't get to pick when to do it. You don't get to say, well, I think I'll let that person be my enemy because I want to love them. No, loving your enemies comes when an enemy comes into your life. How many of you like enemies to come into your life? We don't like that. You see, God brings that into our life in His timing, His way, for His purposes. And I can testify, I haven't had to do a lot of that, really, in all honesty. I had to do some. But what I have, where God has led me to a point where I had to love my enemy, I can honestly say, the fruit of what I've seen come from that has been something to only encourage me. Lord, if you allow another enemy in my life, I know it's for good somehow. It may be for that person to get saved. It may be for me to die to my own self. So we can't manufacture that. But when it comes, God is bringing us an opportunity to show forth His kingdom. You have an opportunity to show forth the praises of God by loving an enemy. And we're not going to go through the whole Sermon on the Mount today. I'd like to share a testimony. I shared it yesterday. I've shared it before the brothers' meeting. But this testimony about this fellow that I worked for 15 years ago. I do home improvement work, and I went to this young man's house. He was 21, I believe. He was renting an apartment, and he called me up and he said, "Can you come and fix some stuff?" And so I said I would. And the day that I said I would, we were doing family devotions that day. And as I thought back on it, my children were only 7 years. My oldest was only 7 years old at that time. I thought they were so big. But we were going through Proverbs where it says, you know, to bind instruction about your heart. Keep it in your soul. It shall keep you. And I had this thing that said instruction on it, and I put it on my chest, and I had the children take tape and tape it all around me during this lesson so that it stuck to my chest. And that was sort of the illustration. You know, you got to keep instruction. And it came time to go to work, and I think it was Hannah said, "Oh, Papa, are you going to wear that thing to work?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you know. Yeah, I want to keep it on my heart. I want to be an example. You've got to bind that instruction about your heart." And so I did something really unusual that I've never done before or since. But I went to work with this instruction written on my chest. And so I got to this fellow's apartment, and this guy was a rebel. Okay, 21. He had been raised in a Christian home. But he was going his own way. And I didn't realize this. I didn't realize I'd said these things, but I asked him. He came over the other night. I want to share about that. I asked him about what he saw. What happened? What went on in your heart? He says, I came in and he had these posters of demonic things on the walls and stuff. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I took off my jacket and I had this instruction written on here, and the guy's mouth kind of opens wide. And he said, what's that? I said, well, we had family devotions and this was the lesson. I went through the whole thing with him. And I could tell God spoke to this guy. And he says, I told him to take the posters off his wall, and I don't remember that, but he says, I told him to get rid of these things. I think he had like demonic stuff. Do you ever have that feeling when you know God spoke to somebody through you? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? But you know what? I never heard a word from that young man for 15 years until 2 weeks ago. I never heard it from him again. Actually, I went back to do another job for him. He paid me for that job, and then somebody broke into his apartment, smashed the knob off, and he asked me if I'd put a new one on. So I went back and I put the knob on, left him a bill, and I never heard a word from him for 15 years. 2 weeks ago, he called me up. He said, I don't know if you're the right guy or not, but he said, I used to live down in Gordonville, and somebody did a job for me, and I never paid him, and I knew right away, came back to me, who this guy was. You know, this was on the way to our minister's meeting that morning, Tuesday morning. I was feeling kind of depressed. I was under a little bit of a load with the discipleship classes and just things. The enemy was just trying to discourage me. As I drove down the road and he started talking to me about that, he said, I just want you to know the seed that you planted has brought forth fruit. I got born again 5 years ago, he said. And I'm serving God now. And he said, I want to pay you double what I owe you, you know. I just want to get right with God, you know, in every area. And I thank you for planting that seed in my life. Tears were just coming down my face, you know. He was like, hello, are you there? Yeah, I'm just so happy. I said to him, you don't owe me anything. Just what you need to do is come to my house and tell my family about this. So he agreed to do that. He said, hey, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. And while he was speaking to me, what those tears were coming out was God was telling me something. My father was saying, it's going to be all right. I love you, son. You needed some encouragement today, and I gave it to you. I knew about this guy 5 years ago. I knew about him back 15 when you spoke to him. But I know you needed some encouragement today, so I just had him call you. You can't put that in words, but that just flooded across my being. My father loves me, and he's going to bring me through what I'm going through right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we tried to get him over, and it didn't quite work out for different reasons a couple times. I wondered if maybe he was, backing out or whatever, or maybe his wife didn't want to come. But finally, last Friday, he called me up, or Thursday it might have been, and said, we'd like to come. Can we do that? I said, sure. So we had him over Friday night, him and his wife, and they have a little girl, 1-year-old girl, 2-year-old. And we had a great time. What a joy. We sang Victory in Jesus together. We sang, I forget the songs, It Is Well With My Soul. And it's just sort of like this reunion. I didn't know the guy that well, but it was like we knew each other so well. We were friends. He shared his testimony. And we shared our testimony, and we just had a great time together. Those of you at the prayer meeting yesterday, when I got home from the prayer meeting, I shared this testimony. But when I got home, the phone rang, 8 o'clock, and guess who was on the phone? This young man. He said, Brother Paul, I just want to let you know, we had such a good time last night. My wife and I, we just couldn't stop talking on the way home. He said, we want to have a godly family. We want to have a family with children who love God. He said, we're just so excited. We're just so touched, you know. He said, I'm looking for mentors in my life. And would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to, you know, get together with me for breakfast or coffee and just help me how to be a dad and all this stuff? And I was on the line like, whoo! You kidding me? Would I be willing? Wow. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. This guy's going places. He told us the night before he wants to be a preacher. He said, God's called me to preach. He filled me with the Spirit, I think it was like a month ago. And he started witnessing to everybody, and he said, God called me to preach. He's memorizing books of the Bible. He showed up at my house with a stack of books on his arm like this. Okay, he had two Bibles, he had a concordance, and he had a journal. He's coming to my house for dinner. You know, so I greet the fellow, and he walks, and he's got this thing like this, you know, I can hardly greet him because he's holding all these books. I said, wow, you're ready for anything. He said, yeah, he says, I'd like to be ready. And this guy is hungry. He's thirsty. Guess what? He's going somewhere. And praise God, if I can help him get there, what a blessing. What a thrill. What a thrill to see someone hungry for God. If you want to go somewhere, get hungry. Right? Amen. This guy, okay, he heard a message. He went through this experience of being filled with the Spirit and so forth. And his testimony was of being filled with the Spirit was he just, the Word of God just came out of him. He went home from church and he witnessed, he said, to 9 people on the way home. He goes to church in, I think it's Christiana, and he lives in York. He stopped for 9 people. He stopped at the gas station. He stopped for a guy on the side of the road. He just wanted to share God's Word with these people. He was filled with the Spirit. And he is going places. He shared his testimony with us of how he got saved. I'm not sure if he was saved in this incident or, you know, how to put it all in spiritually. But he had been a rebel, like I said, for all these years. His parents were Christians. His brothers were Christians. And you know, I don't take credit for his salvation. As far, you know, my part was just this little teeny tiny sliver of just doing what I felt God wanted me to do one day. But many other people were praying for him and so forth. And that's the way it is with every salvation, usually, isn't it? God does that on purpose so that we don't get puffed up and... But he said he came to a low place in his life. He lost his apartment. He didn't have the money to live anywhere. All he had was an old truck. And he said, I came to that low place because I was drinking. And he said, I was in bondage to lust. Absolute bondage. And his brother said to his parents, look, Mom and Dad, just take him in. Could you just take him in for a little bit? This may be his last chance. They prayed for him all these years. His parents reluctantly agreed, yes, we'll let him come back home for a while until he can get on his feet. So that Sunday, his testimony was, they drugged me to church. My brother drugged me to his church. He sat there through the service, and he couldn't tell me what the service was really about, but he said at the end of the service, the preacher, he said, I want to pray for healing. I believe there's somebody here today who needs healing. Of your body, your mind, some kind of healing. And he said to me, as he sat there and heard that in his seat, the thought came to him, I need healing in my mind. My mind is messed up. All I can think about is these images of lust. I need healing in my mind. And so here he is, this rebel all these years. He didn't even want to go to church, but he's sitting there and he heard the gospel. He heard about a king who can heal people. He heard about a kingdom that's powerful. And he bowed his head right there. And he just prayed a simple prayer from his seat. And he said, God, my mind needs to be healed. If you can heal me, you know, please heal me. And his testimony to me was that something left him right then. And he had a peace come into his heart. His testimony was it was a demon of lust. Left him. When he prayed that simple prayer to the king, If you can heal my mind, King Jesus, take it. You know, touch it. I can imagine he probably wasn't real passionate or real whatever from the way he described it. Maybe it wasn't a real fancy prayer. But the king heard it. And King Jesus kicked out that devil that day, and he's been free from that bondage of lust since then. Praise God. And that just encouraged me so much, and I just wanted to do that today. Not that we're going to copy something or whatever, but you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God today. We're talking about the fact that there's a king who is the Lord of all. His kingdom's rule, his kingdom's increase shall never stop. The king who's on his throne right today. And I know the fact that we all have struggles. We all have things that, you know, need healed. I know I have in my life. I may not have something in my mind today, you know, but in my Christian life, I've needed that. And so I believe there's people here today. There's some of you here today that you need a healing touch from Jesus. In your soul, maybe. Like him, it might be in your mind. You might need your mind to get healed. Maybe you're sitting here today and you are bound up with lust. And you've given yourself over to that. And wherever you look, and wherever you turn, you see those, you see images of lust. I know what that's like too. I don't see him anymore, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free from that too. But if you're here and that's the way you think, and you even come to church and you have those images go through your mind, and you can't stop it, Jesus can heal your mind today. See, where the kingdom of God is, there's no other kingdom can rule. And the kingdom of God is where God is king. So I'm just going to ask you today, we're not going to make a big deal out of this. I just want to ask you today, if you need a healing in your mind, in your body, in your soul, whatever it is, I want to ask you to search your heart. If there's some area where God isn't king, where Jesus Christ is not king, just tell him that as we bow our heads and pray. And just say a simple prayer to the Lord Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord that healed my friend who was a rebel, who was going his own way, when he just prayed a simple broken prayer, I need healing, God. Heal my mind. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And you just pray in any way you want there. God, we praise you that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that your kingdom rules over all. Praise you, King Jesus, that there was no match for you here on this earth. No cancer, no demon, no torment, no palsy. But you healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Lord, we believe in you. And I just ask you to touch everybody in this place today, God. Touch them as they sit there, Lord. Touch them as they breathe a prayer to you. May your kingdom increase here today, Lord. May the kingdom of God increase as you are allowed to be king of more of our lives. Lord, take everything we have. Take everything we are. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. We give ourselves to You, Lord. And we're asking these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied that the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Thought also of the words of Jesus, where he gives that lovely invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, the opening devotional this morning, Thomas asked us some questions. Do we want to draw nigh to God and have God draw nigh to us? God draw close to us? You know, I think, Brother Paul, like you said, it wasn't a fancy prayer that this young man prayed. But there was one thing that was evident. It was a moment of truthfulness, honesty in his heart. It was humbling himself, Thomas, you know, as you shared this morning those verses. And in that humility and acknowledging his need, I need healing in my mind. And Lord, if you can heal me, if you can heal my mind, Lord, please heal me. Hallelujah. I remember in my own life and testimony, that's how it was for me. It was not a fancy prayer. It was not, you know, just doing it just right, except just that end of all my own resource, all my own strivings, and just a cry to God, Lord, change me if you can. So if you're here today and the Lord has laid his loving hand upon you, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Just cry out to the Lord. He hears the bleeding, faintest cry from an honest heart. He'll give you rest. Thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing with us the word of the Lord. Maybe someone has a testimony they'd like to share of how they cried unto the Lord and the Lord delivered them. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're still need a healing. Maybe you just want to humbly acknowledge that I need a healing. Anyone, just raise your hand. The ushers will bring a microphone to you. You can share together. God gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Okay, we have one in the back. We'll go ahead with that one.
Yes, I'm not even exactly sure. I struggled with even sharing this morning because I'm not sure where to start and how to, what to share. But God has been doing a lot of things in my heart in the last few weeks, and going deep into some areas that I didn't even know were still there, issues in my attitudes, and just helping me learn how to worship and just be in His presence. And in that, of course, there's also much soul searching, and in the place that our home is right now, there's questions in a number of areas about the direction that things might go, and God has just been really saying, don't try to figure things out, just trust me to do what is my perfect plan. And I feel at this point, like, even when people ask me questions about it, it's kind of like God is just saying, don't go into what it looks like, humanly speaking, but just let me work. And I don't even, it was hard in a way to even share this morning because I have no idea what He is doing, but I know He's doing a lot of things in my heart through all of it, and that it doesn't really matter where circumstances lead. I just want to be where He wants me to be.
Only trust Him. Amen. I would, in a way, just like to spill my joy as I sat through this message. I'm just very excited at looking at the picture of the kingdom of God, and also just remembering my own coming to the end of my rope, and yes, even multiple times, but coming to the end of my rope and saying, Lord, I'm done. I can't do this. And having the revelation of God's love and forgiveness flood my soul. It's just amazing this morning, and I just remember that and am rejoicing in that today and want to continue having God's kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, expanded in my life and our congregation here. I'm very excited for us.
Amen. Thank you, brother. For someone else? Hand on the sister's side. Anyone else? Get your hand up.
I just want to give glory to God for delivering me this week from the hopelessness and darkness that I was living in. I was praying with a friend. I felt like there was no hope. God didn't help me and show me what to do. And after spending a few hours praying together, God showed me that God took me to the verse that talks about having the mountains cast into the sea if we don't doubt in our hearts. And God just showed me clearly that He wants me to ask Him to remove the mountain that I was facing and believe that it's going to be removed. And when I did that, it opened the door that I saw all kinds of lies that the devil was showing me that I was believing, and my concept of God changed. And since then, there's just been life and freedom that I never had before, and I'm so grateful to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, but we're looking forward to the journey. Thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing this message today. I would agree with Timothy. It's exciting and very encouraging to see how God is leading us along. And look forward to drinking deeply from the Word of God and being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of Christ as we allow Him to be the King in every area of our life. Anyone else want to share something? Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'll just share a little bit of what God's doing in my heart. And just I'm not sure what all to say, but God's been working, and I'm learning to keep my heart open to people more, just learning to trust more, and you know, hope and faith is rising in my heart. And you know, God has used some people in my life recently that I've been caring and understanding, and I'm just excited about the life of Christ and all, and abiding in Him and going on. Thanks.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm.
You know, what does God want me to do this next week? Maybe I need to let my children tape a banner to my chest. Or what is it? What is it that God wants to do through me, through you, this next week in showing forth His praise, His kingdom? Isn't that exciting? You know, was it because Brother Paul was so anointed and just so in tune with God that as he went to work that day, it was Paul? You just sense this tremendous... Paul's shaking his head. No, it wasn't. He was just being in fellowship with Christ, desiring to teach his family the things of the Lord, and his daughter says, "You going to wear that today, Papa?" "Oh, well, I wasn't sure, but you know, I think maybe I will." And God used it. So as we deliberately walk with God day by day in everyday things, as Enoch walked with God, God wants to use every one of our everyday lives. Nothing super special, nothing super spiritual, but just saying, Lord, here am I. Shine through me today. Make my life a blessing. God wants to use every one of us. And you know, we might never see. You know, Paul, there might be 10 of those testimonies that you get shared with, or maybe 100 in glory. Some man will come running up and say, do you remember when you did that job for me, or you touched my life here or there? And we don't even remember. But isn't that how Jesus said it would be? The children of God will say, but Lord, when did we see you sick or hungry, or we were just doing, walking with God and enjoying fellowship with you and sharing the blessing of God with others. And hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? So I just want to encourage us, you know, God wants to use each one of us. One sows, another waters. God gives the increase. He lets us have a 1/10 of a percent part. And then we have another 2/10 part over here, and we're rejoicing because we're co-laboring with God and God is using us. But He's lifting the way heavier end of the log. Remember that story? You know, this great big log. You know, and the little boy wants to help his dad, and the dad picks it up at about the 49% level, or 48, you know, in the middle, and the son picks up the other end, and boy, the son's feeling really great because he's carrying this big log with his daddy. That's just how it is with our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the one who lifts the burdens. He's the one who's mighty to save and strong to deliver and heal. And He lets us come along and just share in that joy. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.